Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 1039 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay, but more importantly, Evelyn Ryan is an absolutely important author because of her subject and because of the way she attacked the subject. I'm giving you the short version, but the name of the book is Take Your Power Back. Evelyn, how are you?
Fine, thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Can you give us the full title? It's longer than my memory can keep, but go ahead. Give us the complete title.
Oh, sure. The title of the book is Take Your Power Back, Healing Lessons, Tips, and Tools for Abuse Survivors.
Yeah, I mean, that says it all. And again, we've been speaking off mic quite a bit. And well, first of all, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
And
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, how many years in preparation for this book? And I know it's something close and it's something that you had personal experience with, but how many years in the making was this book?
I have been doing research for the book for over 20 years.
Mm, wow. And when you say research, some of it's, I would imagine, was just like kind of tucked away in the back of your mind. Did you become like a diarist and start writing down all of these things? What was the process?
Well, it was a process, and it wasn't something that I came up with, you know, in a day. It was something that transpired through my lifetime, and I just noticed that narcissists and people with narcissistic tendencies targeted me, and they targeted me and my family as a child, and they targeted me through high school, and they targeted me through adulthood as well. And so I pulled the thread on that some more and started looking up narcissism with the advent of the internet, right? So we had amazing resources available, and I started doing research. However, narcissism was not on the books officially in the psychological community until the early 1980s. And so in the 1990s, it started becoming more prevalent. And now narcissism is just a hot topic. It's everywhere. So
yeah, it is everywhere. It's all over the place.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And so that motivated me to do research. And again, it wasn't a linear research. It was finding out a little bit of information, and then that would trigger something, and then it would lead me in this direction. So that's why it took me so many years to actually research the topic. And then when I felt comfortable that I had really gotten into the root causes of abuse, then I put it together in a book. Actually started a Facebook page, got certified as a life coach, and then wrote the book.
A life coach, a health coach, career coach, and you know it touches on every part of your life. And again, not to bring up a sore subject here, but you lost an aunt, and you lost her to suicide. And I can't imagine, I can't imagine a more devastating feeling to lose somebody to there. I mean, even. When somebody gets murdered, you know, you could say, okay, it was a sick person who did this. But when somebody takes their own life, it's a whole different situation. Tell us about your aunt's suicide.
Well, I had been exposed to abuse throughout my childhood. And through my teens, I had an aunt who was going through, you know, horrible emotional and physical abuse. And it was front and center for me. I frequently was called to actually go and rescue her. So eventually, that was in my teens, and then by my early 20s, the abuse continued, and this was the 1980s, and then my early 20s, she had committed suicide. But again, like I had mentioned, narcissism wasn't on the books until the 1980s, and so she had sought out therapy. She was seeing a psychologist, but many folks who seek out help even today, they are misdiagnosed, as she was. And so the depression was treated, but not the root causes into her pain addictions, not the root causes into the trauma that she had experienced. So she was given tranquilizers. She was given medication for the depression, and she collected all those pills, and then unfortunately led to tragedy. So
Wow. I mean, it's just, again, it's such a heavy subject, but it's an important subject. And Evelyn Ryan is an expert on narcissism, and she has a book that, to me, is so important for folks that are involved with narcissists. And I'm going to ask you to define empath, but again, Frank McKay with Evelyn Ryan, and the name of the book is Take Your Power Back. Do you want to give us the rest of it?
Yeah, sure. So I'm an empath. And so, like I mentioned, I was exposed to abuse in my life throughout my childhood and throughout my life. And as I started educating myself, I realized that I had a family that was just rampant with narcissists. But I was not. But rather than be a narcissist, I was on the opposite end of the spectrum. I am what is called an empath, and narcissists target empaths. Empaths are folks who are very sensitive. We have a tendency to be overly compassionate, overly caring of other people. We fail to see the bad in other people, which makes us very, very vulnerable to narcissists to prey on us. Narcissists lack compassion. Not narcissism in the term of narcissistic. I'm talking about pathological narcissism, which also falls on the spectrum. So they target empaths. And as I had my aha moments, I realized that is why I was targeted through childhood. That's why I was scapegoated. That's why I was bullied through high school. And that's why I became a target into my adult years as well. So empaths are vulnerable to narcissistic attacks. There are studies that prove this, in particular studies done by Drs. Jane and Tim McGregor. And narcissists do target empaths, which leaves us vulnerable. About 40% of the population are empaths. The estimates are 1% to 3% are narcissists. So 1% to 3% of the population have a lot of folks that they can use as prey. Right, 40% of the population are empaths.
Yeah. That's a huge population. Huge population.
It's a huge population. So you have 1% who could do a heck of a lot of damage, right? And empaths, we just need to bring this into our level of awareness, understand that we are vulnerable to the 1% to 3% of the population, and learn how to protect our vulnerabilities, learn how to use our compassion more responsibly, right, and not become dependent or codependent on other folks to define our self-worth.
What's the difference between a codependent and an empath?
Well, most codependents are most likely empaths, but not all empaths are codependent. Right, codependents, but we have a tendency to become dependent on other folks to define our self-worth. Especially, we learn that in childhood. Right? So we learn not to rely comfortably on our own internal cues, our own emotions, to define our worth. That's what emotionally fit people do. But we learn this in childhood to become dependent on other folks. And our enhanced compassion, our enhanced empathy, right, our intense caring for other people, not intentionally, it's kind of by default, we, instead of our parents teaching us how to regulate our compassion, we overly use our compassion, and then in the process, we become dependent on other folks to define our self-worth. We become reliant on them rather than ourselves.
You're listening to the voice of Evelyn Ryan, a wonderful author, and a very important book, Take Your Power Back. And this is Frank McKay, but more importantly, Evelyn Ryan is giving us a bit of an education here on a subject that I think you're going to hear more and more about as there's more understanding coming that way. But certainly an expert in narcissism is Evelyn Ryan. And Evelyn, let me go back to the idea that your parents would send you to your aunt's house to kind of calm her down, and this was as a teenager. Were you dating at the time? Were you involved in relationships at the time?
No, I wasn't dating at the time. But literally, like you said, I would be my mother. You know, when my aunt was going through this atrocious abuse, my mother would send me over to my aunt's house to literally rescue her.
Wow, that's a heavy responsibility to give a teenage girl. Did you look at it like that, or you just this was the norm?
I look at it, yeah, it was heavy duty. It was a large burden that was put on me. But there was an element of normalcy. I mean, all my aunts were abused, so it wasn't uncommon for me to be exposed to that, you know, in childhood and adulthood. So, and then unfortunately, like I said, that degraded. She didn't get the proper care that she needed. She got care. It just wasn't the proper care. And then eventually that led to her suicide.
Well, just a very heavy subject. You have a daughter yourself. And would you, and again, this isn't passing judgment on what your parents did, but would you do that, put your daughter in that same situation?
Oh, absolutely not. Just the opposite. And, however, even in my, because you had asked about, you know, writing the book and what motivated me to write the book and how long it took me to write the book. So, you know, as a mother, I was still healing. And I did not want to make the same mistakes. I did not want to expose her to the same issues that I had, to the same distorted thinking that I had. So, but I was healing at the time, and as I healed, my daughter healed through me. So, I'm happy to say that my daughter's emotionally fit. She's happy. She's healthy. She's attending college, and as a matter of fact, she's majoring in neuroscience. So,
wow. That's great. That's terrific.
Yes. So I'm really, really happy. It was an objective of mine that I had as a mother, and to be able to break those cycles, you know, break the cycles of intergenerational abuse. So
now,
I write about that as well in my book. So
yeah, well, this kind of is a my next question is kind of like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Do you think you became more of an empath? They fanned the flames of it by you having to deal with your aunt in that kind of traumatic situation, or were you that type of person automatically? During your childhood, and that caused your mom to think that you could be helpful in that situation.
Well, most folks who are empaths who understand this in adulthood can look back. And as a matter of fact, every single person that I have spoken with who identifies as an empath knows that they were different as children. I always knew that I was different. I felt like an outsider. I felt compassion for people. I had this need to rescue other people. And my mother was an empath as well. That's why she was sending me over to my aunt's house to rescue her, even in my youth, because my mother related to me. She sent me over there because there was no one else to send, right? So we were empaths. We were rescuers. And a lot of families also that I talked to today, because I'm from the Northeast, I'm from an ethnic family, and a lot of these patterns of thinking that we're discussing were started and can be roots can be identified generations and generations ago. So that pain-based thinking is translated from generation to generation. However, not all folks in those families were narcissists. Several were empaths. And so the empaths, we become frequently the scapegoats. We become the rescuers. We become how the families, how dysfunctional families remain psychologically intact. Frequently, they don't seek psychological care. That was very, very unpopular and looked down upon, especially in New England with me growing up. And so we, the empaths, the compassionate ones, were there to rescue other people, and people scapegoated. I mean, people shadowed their pain, their frustrations, their repressed pain on the scapegoats, on the empaths.
You could look at it in a couple of different ways. I mean, the idea that you had to go through that, you know, these very traumatic situations. And, you know, I mean, you're just giving one example in the book, Take Your Power Back. People can read and hopefully will buy it. Don't download it illegally. Buy the damn thing and read up on some of the other situations in your life. But in some ways, it's fortuitous that that you went through this for other people because you're able to write about it and you took an interest in this subject. And again, I really believe that this subject is coming to a head now. It's coming to be recognized now. And it's a catchphrase, narcissism. All of a sudden you're hearing about that. And you hear about that, you know, in regards to OJ and to, and you said to me off mic, and it sounds dramatic, but terrorist. Terrorist, in order, if you were going to blow yourself up and take another's life because somebody didn't believe in what you believed, I mean, you'd have to be extraordinarily narcissistic. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm not a clinician, but people who are emotionally fit don't engage in terrorist acts, and they don't recruit other folks into the terrorist self, right? And so we have to be vulnerable. We have to be vulnerable to being targeted, right? People who are emotionally fit don't become terrorists, and people who are emotionally fit are not attractive to performing terrorist acts. However, we're vulnerable because we're coming out of abusive families, right? So we're coming out of families where our thinking is irrational. We're not emotionally fit, and then we were not nourished as children. So the empaths most likely are not becoming terrorists. It's the narcissists or people with narcissistic tendencies who become terrorists. The studies show that we have a genetic predisposition to narcissism, and abuse kind of turns those genes on and like turns us into narcissism. So people with a genetic predisposition who are not exposed to abuse and who are raised in healthy environments, they believe, right, the professional community and the psychological community, the neurosciences, neuroresearchers and the neuroscience researchers believe that there's a possibility that even people with a genetic predisposition who are raised in healthy environments will still could be narcissists, but they're going to fall at the lower end of the spectrum where they do less harm to folks. Whereas folks who are exposed to abuse, neglect, that includes neglect and invalidation in childhood, will fall to the higher ends of the spectrum. And those folks most likely are the ones who become prey to the narcissistic terrorists and the psychopathic terrorists.
Well, let me give another reminder to everyone. This is Frank McKay, but more importantly, Evelyn Ryan is our very special guest, a life, health, career coach, and an author, wonderful author of a very important book, Take Your Power Back, and we'll give the info on that before we go. But while we're talking about terrorism, and it's so prominent in everyday life at this point, unfortunately, and they've gotten what they wanted, terrorists, they've gotten the attention. But if you think about it, when they're recruiting people to do these horrific acts, you hear about, you know, whatever, 72 virgins waiting for you in heaven, by the way, which is not found anywhere in the Quran. But how narcissistic would you have to be into, and again, I don't want to make light of a very heavy subject, to be lured into killing other people by being told, once you do this and once you die here on earth, that this is what's waiting for you. I mean, you'd have to be a narcissist to want that, you know. And I know, men, you know, listening might say, oh, I'd love to have that. No, not really. I mean, you know, most people, are married to one person or two people, you know, throughout their lives, but the recruiting that the terrorists do is directly aimed at narcissists. Am I right?
Right. Well, narcissism is a international pandemic. It's not religion specific. So the worst narcissists in history, right? Mao Zedong, Ceausescu, Hitler, even Genghis Khan. They were people from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, all different areas of the world. And right now, terrorism is just narcissists are all terrorists, and the folks I listed were terrorists, right? They were narcissists. At a minimum, narcissists and possibly psychopaths. Narcissism falls on the spectrum, right? We're all narcissistic. We have to be to survive. And some folks aren't, even with the personality disorder, aren't that bad and don't do that much harm. But then at the ones who fall off the other end of the spectrum, the terrorists, the Mao Zedongs, the Hitlers in the world, they do an incredible amount of damage because they lack compassion. And it's all about them, and they have to win. And frequently, they're sadists as well. So they can do, as we all know, an incredible amount of damage. But society now, we focus on the consequences. We focus on the violence. We focus on the damage. We don't focus on the root cause, which is character disorders and personality disorders that drive these folks to engage in these horrific acts. And they're recruiting other folks because narcissism has become a pandemic, and a lot of folks, abused folks and neglected folks and invalidated folks, men and women, are being recruited into those terrorist cells.
Well, listen, it's a heavy subject. It's a great subject, and it's an important book. Take Your Power Back. Evelyn Ryan has been our very special guest. First of all, Evelyn, thank you very much. But give us one last bit of information on where to get the book and where people can follow you and what you're doing.
Oh, sure. So the title is Take Your Power Back, Healing Lessons, Tips, and Tools for Abuse Survivors. You can acquire the book at any of the bookstore outlets online, so Barnes & Noble, Amazon, iUniverse, or through my website, yourlifelifter.com, through WordPress, and through my Facebook page, which is titled Your Life Lifter.
Well, thanks for your time here, and hopefully we can get you back for a part two, part three. Wonderful stuff. Evelyn Ryan has been our very special guest. Thanks again, Evelyn.
Thanks. My pleasure, Frank.
Evelyn Ryan, everyone. The name of the book is Take Your Power Back. Start with that, and you'll get the rest of it and buy the book. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down.